was like, good. That was good. That was real good. Man, Faith, Elizabeth, boy, you done a real good job. Man, that was good. Open your Bibles to Matthew. Matthew chapter 15. Looks like we have a Texas, a UT dad here. Samuel must be going away to school pretty soon, huh? Yeah, all right. Praise the Lord. You know, but before I start, I want to thank you, church. Well, you've been real good to me this week, and had a lot of good fellowship, and man, a lot of food. You guys fed me real good. It's incredible. I mean, you know, I came here to San Antonio, and man, I was a picture of health when I showed up. And look how you left me. Man. Matthew 15. Now, some of you don't believe me, huh? Let's start in verse 22. It says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for allowing us to meet together, Lord, and to worship you. You are worthy. You are our Savior, our God. And Lord, we need your help. We need your help this morning, Lord, to try to understand some things, Lord. We need you to speak to us, Lord. We need your presence, and we ask that you have the liberty, Lord, to speak to each heart in this place. I ask that you help me, Lord, this morning to preach and just to help me to just to say the words that you want me to say, Lord. I ask that you clear our minds, Lord, of the things of this world, and just clear my mind, Lord. Just help me to preach your word the best I can, Lord, to give you honor and all the glory. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this story is interesting, and I just want to point out a few things this morning about this. And I mean, we all know the story, but when I came across this story, man, it's just incredible to me. You know, what happened here, because I mean, whether you were brought up in a Christian church or not, you know, or what I mean by brought up in a Christian church, I mean always there, Sunday school, I mean just knowing all the stories, you know, from little bit, or if you just showed up from you know, from any other religion, I mean, they talk to us about Jesus, right? I mean, we all know, especially here in America, who Jesus is, and it's always he's kind-hearted. He's I mean, just all the great qualities is Christ, and that is true. But you know what? We have a part in the Bible here, and then 23 really impressed me. It says, "But he answered her not a word." Does that sound like Jesus to you? I mean, he didn't answer her a word. Man, you know, just thinking about this and thinking about the area, I mean, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, have commented on this passage, and I don't know, I ain't no expert. I just read the book and I like going to the maps in the back of my Bible, and I like seeing exactly where he was and what's going on. And you know, in the area where Jesus was from, it was Judea, it was Samaria, it was Galilee, and then this place Sidon, Tyre, is like to the west. It was a place that Jesus, I mean, I don't know why he was there. Because he obviously, when he goes to this place, he tells this lady, you know, I got bread and they're for my children and I can't give it to you. And he calls this lady a dog. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, you know, why is he there? I mean, why did he, and if you look at it, you know, if you find where he's at, I think in verse 14, it says in verse 34, it says, and when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. I mean, he was close by, but he still had to travel. And it's like if you read the story, he goes up there, talks to this lady, and then he goes again to the Sea of Galilee. So you're thinking, you know, to go all that way, and then he said, and for him not to say a word, and then to basically say, look, I can't give you anything because what I have is not for you. That doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense. But you know, a lot of things God doesn't make sense. You know, I mean, it doesn't make sense in the moment. Once things start evolving and one thing start happening, it makes sense later on. You know, when I was growing up, and you know, I've told you this before, but when I was growing up, you know, there in the big city of Los Fresnos, one stoplight, man, there was lots of people in my community who would talk to me about the Lord. But I didn't remember until I got saved. And you start thinking about these things, and you start thinking, man, God was protecting me all the way back there. You know, things didn't make sense to me back then, but after I got saved, after God opened my eyes to the gospel and I trusted Him, I started looking back and said, wow, man, God really went out of His way for me. It's just incredible. I mean, I had people from, I mean, all quote unquote Christian churches coming by for us. When, I mean, you know, summer got there, and I mean, we knew the vacation Bible school, man. The Methodists are going to be coming by. The Baptists are going to be coming by. Church of Christ is going to be coming by. And they're going to be picking us up. They're going to be picking us up and taking us to their church for a week, and we're going to learn a bunch of stuff, and it's probably not going to stick with us, and they're going to be feeding us all day long. You know, they used to come by and ask my mom, can we pick up your kid? We're just going to go right. Take them. Take them, man. Take them. You're going to take care of this guy and feed him? Good luck. But you know, when I was working at a grocery store, a pretty good sized grocery store there in my town, there was a lady who would come by from the Baptist church, still goes to Baptist church where my niece goes, still goes there. Her name is Barbara Rodriguez. And she used to come by like every day, you know, to buy different things, right? You know, whatever she needs, eggs, sugar, whatever it is. But she used to come by, and every day, she used to come by and say hello to me. And she would talk to me. And she would invite me to church. And she would say just something about the Lord. You know, she used to bring me cookies. Hey, you know, I was baking some cookies and you know, I just want to, you know, give you this. You know, God bless you. Oh man, good, I got some cookies out of it, you know? I mean, I see just so many things in my life that God went out of His way to call me. You know, things just don't happen by accident. You look at this, and when you read it the first time, you say, man, you know, God wasn't even interested in this lady. But I don't see it that way. I think God was interested in this lady. You know, this place was a little ways away. You know, I think we need to realize that God does care for us. I mean, doesn't the Bible say that in 1 Peter 5, 7? It says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I mean, that's what God says. He cares for us. And you know what? Something else that struck out or was made, what's the word I'm looking for? Was obvious to me. Was, look what it says over here in verse 22. In verse 22 it says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord." I mean, she came from a pagan place. She came from an area where Jesus wasn't even working, wasn't even moving there, wasn't doing anything. And Jesus does mention the area. Don't you remember back over here in Matthew 11, I think I wrote that down. Matthew 11. Yeah, here it is. Matthew 11 in verse 20. He says, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." Here these people were bad-mouthing Jesus, bad-mouthing John, and he upbraided the city. In other words, he was rebuking them. He was getting after them because they would not repent, and they had all these things around them that they should have repented. It says here, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." He didn't do anything there. But God said, if the same works would have been done there, they would have repented. Now, I don't understand that either. Because I figure, man, if they would have repented, why didn't you go there? Well, you know, God knows He has His own schedule, and He doesn't consult me about it. And He doesn't consult you. God's going to get around to it. I just look at it that way. You know, sometimes I think, you know, why didn't God save me a lot earlier? I could have been, you know, saved from a lot of things. Well, you know, praise God, God saved me. Why am I going to be stuck on that? And then, man, what? No, God saved me. I'm saved. And I'm, you know, the stuff and the junk I was in didn't really affect me that much. A little bit. You know what I'm saying? God had mercy on me. I mean, he even put, you know, a mother in my life who really, man, was close to me, and she just didn't let me get away too far. I wanted to come to San Antonio several times. When I graduated, I was almost 18 years old, and I wanted to come to San Antonio right away. I had friends who were coming to school up here. And my mom didn't let me. She said, "No, you're not going nowhere." I said, "Okay." And then I turned 19 and asked again, and no. And 20, no. And 21, she said, "All right, I think you're ready." It came up here, and a few months later, I got saved. That was God. Man, I just think about if I would have come up here at 18, I probably would have been really in a bad way. You know, 18-year-olds ain't very smart. 21-year-olds ain't very smart. But they're a little bit smarter than 18-year-olds. Man, God had mercy. That's His mercy. God is working all around you. And sometimes, you know, we don't make sense of the thing, but God's right there. He's going out of His way. You know, she called Him Lord. You know, is He your Lord? And by the way, He's Lord even though you don't make Him Lord. I mean, He's God. Whether you say, you know what, yeah, He is my Lord, or whether you say, you know what, not right now, it doesn't matter. He is Lord. One day soon, every knee shall bow.
every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord.
You know, if He's Lord, then we have to understand that, that He can do anything He wants in our lives. I mean, He's God. I mean, have you thought about, for example, Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9, it says when he's talking about, let's read it. Second, I want to misquote something. 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 7, it says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." You know, there's some things in your life that are actually good for you. You might think they're bad, and they probably, you know, to you they are bad, but God says, this is going to help you. Yeah. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." That's just three times. "That it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know, we might have problems, we might have trials, we might have a whole bunch of stuff around us. But that doesn't mean God isn't involved. Man, he might just be saying, look man, my grace is sufficient. You know, we really ought to thank God for our problems. You know, I sometimes think about problems and I think, you know what, I'm going to choose to thank God for this because I'm talking to Him right now. Maybe if I didn't have this problem, I wouldn't be talking to Him right now. Sometimes problems can be a blessing. Sometimes problems will keep us in church. You know, have you ever seen a person who doesn't have any problems? Everything's just great, man. They don't worry about a thing. They don't cry out to God too much. You got problems, you got trials, you got things God wants you to do, or you want God to do in your life, you're going to be crying out to God. If He's Lord of your life, then in spite of your hardships, in spite of everything else, you got to worship Him. He's got to be your Lord. If you're saved, He is your Lord. And you know what? Incredible thing in this story. Matthew, turn there again. Look what it says. Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and verse 25. It says, "And then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me." Okay, here we see that she asked Him, right? She asked Him, Lord, help me. When did she start worshiping Him? Before she asked. Before she received anything. She came to Him and she went to Him and she called Him, Lord, thou son of David. She was worshiping Him. She had no guarantee. Do you think seriously that she thought she was going to be called a dog that day? No. She went and she just worshiped Him. She's probably heard all about Him. She wanted to worship God. Well, see, this is what's going on right here. This is the area where we're talking about. God comes to her. Jesus Christ comes to her and He doesn't say a word and he's listening and she's worshiping Him. And then she cries out for help. Talk about the supplication here. What was her problem? Her problem was that she had a daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. I mean, that's a big problem. When you're in trouble and you need help from God, that's a big problem. But you know what? She had a bigger problem. God wasn't going to help her. Ain't that what He said? I mean, look what He says. He says in verse 24, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." You know, she was refused.
She was refused by, because of who she was, of her race. Isn't that just incredible? I mean, she wasn't the right, out of the right nation. She wasn't of the right children. Does that amaze you? I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, and we all do it. I mean, let's just look. God loves us. I don't know why he does. Because we're not lovable people. We are ingrateful people. Ingrateful? Ungrateful? Ungrateful. We're both. Okay. Ungrateful. We just don't give thanks, all right? I mean, that's how we are. I mean, before I got saved, never gave thanks for my food. Did you? I didn't do it. I never thought about it. But now I walk around thanking God. Man, thank God I got up this morning. You know, thank God, you know, for whatever, just thanking God. Pray without ceasing. You're just talking to God, thanking Him for everything. Now. Because see, we're children now. But see, God loved us even before that. And that's just an incredible thought. But here she was rejected because of who she was. Well, you just got to remember, don't, you know, let's not, sometimes when I show this to people and they go, oh, God's racist. You know, what's going on here? No, God's not racist. God loves you. But you know, God has an order. God has a timeline. Look what it says over here in John. In John chapter 1. Because I think it's important for us to understand this. It says, talking about Christ. Let's go to verse 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. In verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. You know, Jesus came to his own people. He offered them the gospel. He gave them the words of life. But you know what happened? When they rejected him, when they crucified him, when they killed the Savior, now he opened up salvation to all of us. I could see back then, somebody would try to say, man, what's going on? Why is he rejecting that person? And yeah, you could probably come with the wrong conclusions. But man, we got the book. We got everything now. We understand clearly now. It makes sense. I understand. Look, we're all in the same boat. God doesn't look down and say, okay, I like you because you're this way, you're that color, you're that race. Look, we're all sinners. Yeah. All, every single one of us. We came from the same parents. We're made out of the same lump. Some a little lumpier. But all out of the same lump. We have one Father. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if He's not your Lord, you need to make Him Lord. And what I mean by that is you need to ask God for forgiveness. You need to repent of your sins. You need to ask God to save you. And He'll do it. Unconditionally. Not because you're worthy, but because He's worthy. This is why He came. You know, we're looking at this and that's a big problem. I mean, He was only sent to the children. But look at the response. It's incredible. 27. It says, and she said, truth, Lord. Wow. I mean, here you go. And I don't know, up here, I know dog means something totally different. You know, they even spell it different, right? D-A-W-G, right? And everybody's like, yeah, you're my dog, and you're my dog, and hey, I'm not your dog. What's wrong with you? You know? I mean, now it's just like totally different. Don't say dog in Mexico, please. Don't call anybody, because dog in Mexico still means dog. You know? When we preach against fornication in Mexico, and I'm trying to make the point about fornication, we always use this analogy, and we say we shouldn't be living like dogs. Right. Oh, you say that, and they go, you say I'm living like a dog? You calling me a dog? I said, just listen to what I'm saying, because that's how dogs live. Have you ever seen a dog in heat?
Yeah.
Got 10 dogs behind them. Isn't that right?
Right?
Well, we shouldn't be living that way. We shouldn't be living like dogs. You ever see a dog give thanks to God before he eats? No, they just chow down on that food. We shouldn't be living like dogs. I'm not calling anybody a dog. All I'm saying is we shouldn't be living like them. We're better than them. We're made after his own image. But you know, what an incredible truth. It says, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. You know, we do good to agree with God. Just agree with the man. I mean, we're not talking about a mediocre being. We're not talking about somebody who needs to study things out. Everything that is done by him. We're talking about a God who is, I mean, intelligent. Everything. He knows everything about you. Everything that there is. So when God tells you your problem this morning, you just need to say, truth, Lord. That's true. I need to get that in my life. If you're a sinner this morning and you don't have Christ, you need to say, you know what, God? Truth. I don't know you. I am a sinner. I need to get saved. You know, somehow it's hard for us to get to that point. That's because we're a little prideful. You know, we need to be a little bit more humble. And look at the positive outlook. And this lady was positive. You know, I mean, there's something to say about people being positive, don't you think? You know, I know sometimes I say, no, you know, you can't be overly positive. Because I like being positive. I like it, man. You know, things could be worse. Why do I want to look at the worst part of things? You know, if you only eat one time a day, at least you ate once. Right? I mean, you ate once. Look positively towards things. And it'll make you just a little bit happier. If you're looking at the bad side of life, and life sometimes had bad problems. There's bad times in life. But don't focus on that. Have you ever just started counting your blessings? You know, like that song, One by One? You're a little down one day for whatever reason. Start counting your blessings. Starting with where you live. What a blessing. God has truly, truly, truly blessed you. Praise God for his word, for his blessings that he give us, for the church. Man, we just need to count our blessings. But she says there in verse 27, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Man. You talk about positive. I mean, here she comes and God says, I can't give you the bread. I mean, I imagine in my head a big old loaf, you know, sitting right there on the table, you know. And that's what I want. I don't want the leftovers, you know. I want that big old piece of hot steaming bread, man. That's what I want. And she doesn't get mad. She just says, yeah, but the dogs eat crumbs. Man. And the mercy?
be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Jesus gives mercy. You know, it's a pretty good idea not only to agree with them, but it's a pretty good idea to have a positive outlook on things. Say, you know what, God, you're right. Maybe the way I was living, you know, possibly I'm suffering the consequences right now. Yeah, it's my fault, Lord. And I'm going to try my best, and I'm going to get going, Lord. You know, God just might appreciate that. He might just help you out a little bit more. But you got to have a better outlook at things. You know, just a couple applications when we close tonight on this passage. Things that we could learn from this dog. From this lady who was called a dog. The first thing I thought of was persistent. She was persistent. She wasn't bothered by the statement. You know, she wasn't, she didn't argue. She didn't give her personal views on the situation. She was just persistent. She had one thing in her mind, and that was to get help. We need to be persistent. I mean, that's what I get out of it. Persistence. What is it that you need? I mean, God, I mean, we've talked this week about getting our joy back. Well, that's the will of God for you. He wants you to rejoice in Him. That's what God wants. You got to be persistent. And by this, I mean the things that you got to clear up in your life to get to that place. Be persistent. Another thing I thought of is things aren't always what they seem. I mean, if we look at verse 21 here, it says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon." You know, and I talked a little bit about that, but it doesn't always look, you think about it thinking, man, he went way out of his way. Why? And he's not going to get. No, I think he had it in his mind. I think maybe it's just written for us. You thought about that? Maybe it's just for you and I. See, you know what? God can and is going out of his way to save us, to bless us, to give us joy, to give us that spark again. I think so. Don't get down. Don't get mad at God. He wants to bless you. What about worship? You know, Jesus doesn't need to be worshipped only when he does good things to us, for us. We need to worship God all the time. It doesn't matter if things aren't. Man, this week, what has God done for you this week? I talked to a brother in the church this week that said he got a job. A better job. I mean, he had a job, but he got a better job with better benefits. That he could actually support his family a little bit better now. I mean, God's worthy of worship even before he got that job. And more so now, I mean, we could even do it happier. I talked to a guy this week that said, man, you know what? I found myself talking to somebody about the Lord again. And not only talking to him, but not just leaving a track there, but actually giving them the track and telling them how to get here. And I was actually excited. And by the time I knew it, I was thinking, wow, it's been a while since I've done this. Well, you know, God's worthy of worship. He's doing so much for us. Another thing I thought about was we need to submit to God's reasoning. You know, she heard it. The bread wasn't for her. And she said, truth. Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the Bible says over there in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, that's the way God thinks. We need to submit to what God says. And not so much try to argue the point
Well, you know what, God, I'm just not that bad. No, God says you've sinned. And God says you are bad. And God says if you don't come to Him and reconcile yourself with Him, you're going to go to hell. That's what the Bible says. Why are we going to fight it? You know, if we don't clean up our life, if we don't start walking back to God, we're not going to be rejoicing in Him. It's just not going to happen. Why are we fighting it? We need to just submit. Submit to God. God, what do you want me to do? And I'm going to do it today. You know, but the last thing, and I think this is the thing that really blessed me when I was reading this. It's not necessary to be at the table to get a blessing. You don't have to be at the table, man. You know, God's crumbs aren't that bad. I mean, you think about it and you go, a crumb ain't going to fill me up, man. Ain't going to fill me up. A crumb? But God says, yeah, crumbs, God's crumbs are meant, are good stuff. You know what a crumb of God did for this lady? It healed her child. You telling me a crumb doesn't have power? A crumb isn't a blessing? And a crumb is a blessing. You know, if you're lost today, we have that bread of life. We have Him. Man, if you eat, the Bible says, if you eat that bread of life, you shall never hunger. You know, God's crumbs can make you whole. You know, if you're a Christian and you want that joy back, you want that, you want to rekindle that relationship again, maybe you ought to ask God for some crumbs. Maybe you ought to be looking for those crumbs. You know, this lady, instead of being on the table, she was happy to be under the table. Isn't that amazing? Under the table, eating crumbs. Man, come back to God. God can allow you to experience all the joy you had before. You know, I started to tell you a story yesterday in 1 Samuel. You got to read these three chapters in 1 Samuel today. You got to read it. I had a message prepared on this, and it just didn't work out. I just I don't know. But 27 to 30, you got to read these chapters. It's just incredible. Because you see how God just takes care of His own. There David, he's thinking, if I just get away from Saul, everything would be okay. But then you know what he starts doing? He starts covering up some things. Achish comes to him and he says, hey, where have you been? And he goes, oh, well, I've been killing, the children of Israel. But he wasn't killing the children of Israel. He was killing God's enemies. And he was covering it up. He didn't leave anybody alive in the cities. Why? He didn't want to get back to Achish. See, he thought he could find refuge in the world, under King Achish. Well, you know what happened? It got to the point where the king thought, man, I'm going to make you my guard. Man, I found a champion. He'll fight for me. And they got together and they were going to go against Israel. And you know what happened? They got David. He said, David, you're going to come fight with us. And David said, okay. And then the other king said, no, we're not going to take this guy. Remember that song they were singing about, Saul killed his 10,000s and this guy, hey, this is the guy. This is the guy that was wiping us out. We can't take him. And then he had to give him the bad news and said, you're not going to come with us. And so David goes back to Ziklag. Remember that? Goes back and, I can't be useful, whatever. He goes back and what happens? The Amalekites conquered his little city, burned it to the ground. They took everybody. I mean, they literally thought they were all dead.
He took his wives, his children, his possessions, everything. Well, they find an Egyptian boy that they had left behind. And David said, can you take me? What happened to these people? Oh, we took them all alive. We didn't kill any of them. We just took them. Look what it says over there, 1 Samuel. I just want you to read the verse because this is incredible. In 1 Samuel, this is where it ends, in 30. I just want you to look at this because I'm telling you, God's crumbs aren't that bad. They can give you such a blessing. God wants you to recover some things. Even though David was out of the way, he didn't ask God, should I go to the Philistines to escape? I mean, didn't God give David the promise? You're going to sit on the throne, David. I'm going to put you on the throne. David didn't have to leave. God was going to protect him. And how many times did he protect him? He didn't go to God and say, God, is it your will that I go and seek protection under King Achan? No. But then after all that happens and they take away all his possessions, his children, things that were dear to him. Even his own men wanted to stone him, they says. He was in a bad way. You know what he did? He went to God and he prayed. And he said, God, do I go and try to get my things back? Can I go? And God says, go. Look what it says. It says 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, without fail recover all. You know what? There is a possibility to recover all. All that joy that you had before. I mean, sometimes we get away in sin. And sometimes we do some pretty stupid things and we got that consequence all through our lives. I know that. But you know, it is possible to get that joy again. You know what? When I think of recovering all, it's possible to recover the relationship that God wants us to have. We don't just recover a little piece of it. God can give us full access, a full relationship. He can give you full joy. But you got to do what David did. You got to go and you got to seek God out. And you got to talk to God. Let me just tell you, God's crumbs from his table isn't a bad thing. He can make you whole too. Amen?